Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment. Trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin sale bro.
Show,
they got me started, lying hearted, I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Gruz Usaba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we wise up, unity so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black owned, black power moves. You telling lies, if you think this shit won't be televised. Black power, be scared guys, they be standing there like they paralyzed, huh? We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth the crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fucking promise.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin sale bro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, shit, that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Bullshit, I don't tolerate it. Melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack fucked up another conversation. Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police department to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prison. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation.
We start to begin everything that we do with prayer. So we can take a position of prayer or a position that is most respectful at the moment. I'll say the prayer aloud. I ask you to repeat the prayer silently to yourself.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim.
O Allah, I seek refuge with you from the accursed Satan.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Most Merciful.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.
All praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all of the worlds.
Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
The Beneficent, the most merciful.
Maliki Yawmiddin,
master of this day of judgment in which we now live.
Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in.
Thee do we serve, and thee do we beseech for help.
Ihdina siratal mustaqim.
Guide us on the right path.
Siratal ladina anamta allahim.
The path of those upon whom thou has bestowed favors.
Ghayrul maghdubi allahim.
Not the path of those upon whom thine wrath is brought down.
Wallatoli.
Nor of those who go astray.
Ameen.
Assalamu alaikum. Greetings. Welcome to the Your Immunity Project. You are in the right place. You did not make a mistake. And we're getting better and better as the weeks go on. And I want to thank all of you who are tuned in. So welcome to the Your Immunity Project Zoom conference call. We do this every Tuesday, 7 p.m. This is sometimes called the Hour of Truth. This is where we let it all hang out. The truth, that is. We tell it the way it actually is, not the official narrative. And we do more than dissect the lies. So this is the Your Immunity Project, the grassroots response to the pandemic, or as some would call it, the plandemic. And so here we are, here you are, and the only ones missing are the ones that you forgot to invite. So take this index finger that Brother Carlito of Calfani Radio, he has dubbed this finger, he's given it a new designation. This is your share finger, to show that you care. It's the finger of power. Because with this finger alone, you can change the world. You can invite somebody else that's in the dark about this whole thing. Somebody that you can enlighten just by inviting them. So welcome to the Your Immunity Project Zoom conference call. We are in the tailwinds of a hurricane called Savior's Day. So happy Savior's Day to all of you who celebrated the birth of Master Farad Muhammad on February the 26th. 1877. And so every year, the Muslims in North America, we celebrate his birth because he's the one that brought our faith to us after having lost it for so many centuries. So happy Savior's Day. And of course, we had a wonderful time with Minister Farrakhan on Sunday for a total of 5 hours. So shout out to everybody for Savior's Day. I want to thank also, before I go too far, I want to thank the brother who's opening with our prayer on a weekly basis. Brother, you're getting better and better every week. So keep reciting, keep practicing that. That is beautiful. And I'm so glad you did that tonight for two reasons. One is I forgot to say my own prayer. And so that helps me make up for the prayer that I missed myself. But also the words of that prayer, Al-Fatiha in the Holy Quran, they ring so true today, don't they? They ring so true. So we don't want to be on the path upon those upon whom thy wrath is brought down, because we see a whole lot of wrath being brought down all over the world. So we're not going to get into political issues, and I generally will issue a disclaimer at the top of our broadcast, because we get into a whole lot of issues. Some issues are political. Some are economic, some are medical, some are legal even, but we don't give out a professional advice. So don't take what we say as professional advice. Oh, he said so and so. No, no. We ask you to respectfully listen to the views that are expressed on the Your Immunity Project, but do your own research. Listen to everybody, but think for yourself. So this is the hour of truth. This is the hour of power. Because truth is power. Knowledge is power, they say, and power is the ability to do work. And so what is the work of the Your Immunity Project? It is to protect through proper immunity in all of its dimensions, the life and the health and the well-being and to guarantee a future. That's what immunity does. Immunity guarantees a future. Anybody that can threaten your immunity is threatening your ability to survive into the future. So we live in a world that seems to be full of trouble, and it certainly is, and it touches every one of us. But the object of the Your Immunity Project is, despite the trouble, we intend to be the ones who survive to talk about it on the other side. Okay, so you're in the right place. And so you had enough time. You should have called two or three people by now. You should have reached out to somebody, show that you care. So welcome to the Your Immunity Project. We always invite new people. And some of you might be new, might be tuning in for the first time. What is this all about? Well, I told you something of what it's all about. I'm Dr. Alim Muhammad. I always assume people know who I am, and I found out a lot of people don't know who I am. But I'm Dr. Alim Muhammad, and I represent the Your Immunity Project. I'm the big mouth of the Your Immunity Project. But we have other speakers, and your voice is also invited to speak as well. So at the end of every broadcast, we open up the lines, and I think we'll give some extra time tonight to the open lines for questions, testimonials, given that this is we're still basking in the glow of Savior's Day. And there's a lot of, I didn't know I haven't wound down from Savior's Day yet. I didn't know I was so wound up until I couldn't wind down. And I still haven't wound down. So maybe the same is for you. And you may want to express something or have a question that needs an answer. And we'll do the best that we can. So welcome to the Your Immunity Project. You didn't make a mistake. You are in the right place. Now, for new people, let me recite the five principles that we operate by. And those five principles are prevention, number one, diagnosis is number two, treatment is number three, number four is research, and five is education. So those are the five principles. Whatever we're talking about, keep those five principles in mind. How do you prevent it? How do you diagnose it? How do you treat it? What's the research? And what's the information? What's the knowledge, in other words, that came from that research? And in fact, what is the Your Immunity Project Zoom conference call except principle number five in action? We're educating ourselves about what's going on. The military calls that situational awareness, being aware of all of the threats that surround you, and then taking appropriate action based on that knowledge. So the founding principle of the Your Immunity Project almost 2 years ago, just about 2 years ago, was based on a Quranic verse in Surah 9, Ayat 105, work, it says, work. Work so that Allah and the messenger and the believers will see your work. And maybe Allah will turn to you mercifully, for he is the oft returning to mercy, the merciful. Yes, and we need that mercy today more than ever. You see, and not only is Allah and the messenger and the believers seeing the work being done by the Your Immunity Project, but also the enemy is seeing it too. And so the enemy is taking action. Even if you're not, the enemy is taking action. You see, and so we've been over the 2 years. We fought our battles and fight them every day. And we're winning because we're still here. If we had lost any one of them, we would not be here. But thanks to Allah, so far we have won every battle. And we're still here broadcasting, getting bigger and stronger with the message of truth that we have to deliver. So thank you once again for tuning in to the Your Immunity Project. Those five principles are always in the back of your mind. Prevention, number one, how do I prevent getting infected with the viruses that are coming down the pike? Well, you use the Paxlovid. How do you prevent the spike protein? You stay away. How do you diagnose the coronavirus or any other virus? Well, for the most part, all the diagnostic tests have been proven to be bogus. So diagnosis is a question mark right now. And none of the tests, none of the tests, especially the PCR test up the nose, is anything else except another delivery system for the vaccine that you say you don't want. So don't let them stick that up there. So there is no surefire diagnostic test for either the spike protein poison or any virus that's coming down the pipe. So that's a blank area. That's a blank area. We need a good test. We need a good diagnosis. Now, of course, if the diagnosis is questionable, then treatment also can't be sure. But the thing that we can be sure about is if someone is suffering from a virus, whether it's the so-called corona, COVID-19 virus or some other virus, the common cold virus, influenza, smallpox even, measles, it doesn't make any difference. If it's a virus, even the viruses that cause cavities in teeth, it doesn't make any difference. The Paxlovid, the low-dose interferon will actually help with a viral situation. Even some cancers are improved. If it's caused by a virus, and many cancers are, some are, some aren't, but many are. And so those cancers that are based on a viral infection will be helped with the Paxlovid. Again, the disclaimer stands. We're not diagnosing or treating or offering medical advice. We're just telling you some good information for your own consideration and your own judgment and use as you see fit as a free sovereign individual. So now we're on principle number four, which is research. And here we run into another dilemma, the same dilemma we ran into with diagnosis, where you couldn't trust, where you can't trust the rapid home test, you can't trust the PCR test, same problem in the research area. We're trying to believe Anthony Fauci. We're trying to believe NIH. We were trying to believe FDA. We were trying to believe all of them, and we found out that we could not trust any of the research or the science that they were reporting out. So guess what we had to do? We started our own research. We have our own research projects. So welcome to the Your Immunity Project research principle in action, and you can find that, and you can enroll in clinical trials underway right now by the Your Immunity Project at yourimmunityproject.org. That's the website. You go to yourimmunityproject.org. That's where you sign up, enroll yourself in the clinical trial. And the benefits you get is, number one, you're helping to establish the true facts where COVID-19 is concerned, where the jabs are concerned. We're establishing the true facts, so that in the future, people will have something to go by, because we're doing the spade work, if you will, the hard work, finding out what is the truth, because we can't sift through lies and find truth. No, we have to do the hard work to establish truth. And so that's what we're doing with the research project. And you can help, and you can sign up at yourimmunityproject.org. So that's a benefit. But the second benefit is personal to you, because in some places, depending on the mandates, some are more restrictive than others in different places. You need to go somewhere and, hey, there's a checkpoint, like you live in some kind of a dictatorship or something. Somebody wants to see some papers to prove what your vaccine status is. You can't go where you want to go. You can't get on a plane. You can't cross a border. Well, guess what? If you're enrolled in a clinical trial, you can go anywhere you want. And nobody can bother you, and nobody can force you to enroll in another clinical trial while you're currently enrolled in a clinical trial. And what is the COVID-19 vaccine, so-called vaccine campaign, except a vast clinical trial, an untested shot, giving it to billions of people, and they want you to enroll in it? No, enroll in something that's safe. Enroll in something that's safe, and that's the Your Immunity Project. .org website for our research project. We're not going to hear from our research team tonight. Normally they give us an update on a weekly basis, but everybody's worn out from Savior's Day. And so we're not going to hear from them tonight, but next week we expect to hear from Dr. Nadia and Brother Daoud, who did an excellent job. I don't know if he's on the call at all, but he did an excellent job putting together the presentation that we called the Report of Findings. That was presented Saturday night, February the 26th. It was kind of a Savior's Day gift from the Your Immunity Project to the world. to say, this is what we have found out concerning COVID-19. And we went, it was a comprehensive overview, a PowerPoint presentation, videos, all kinds of information, chock full of information, vital information. Now, we didn't cover everything, but we did as much as we could do in 2 hours. And so that, I think Brother Carlito from California Radio is going to tell you how you can see the rebroadcast of that presentation, the report of findings over a 2-year period of time of the Your Immunity Project. So you'll hear about that later. But it was a wonderful opportunity to share what we found out with the world. And because we're on all of these platforms, it is going to go to the world. And we went comprehensive. We didn't go deep in every area, but we're going to do a part two. And I'm not sure. I think maybe I said I was going to do it tonight, but I wasn't quite able to get everything together to do it tonight. I don't want to do it tomorrow night on the 19th element because there's so many political things going on. I don't want to talk about science tomorrow night. I want to talk about world events and world affairs, the war that is taking place already in Europe. That's what I want to talk about tomorrow night on the 19th element. So that's at 9 p.m. on Wednesdays. So yeah, this is a commercial for the 19th element because I get excited about some of these topics and we live in exciting times. But we have to stay on course with the Your Immunity Project. So this is all about COVID-19, COVID mandates, and everything else related to it. So thank you for tuning in once again. I think the only other thing I need to say before we open up our phone lines, we usually hear from abroad, because this is an international movement. We have people in Australia, people in Africa, people in Europe, people in the UK, all down in the Caribbean. Somebody sent me a video of the Your Immunity Project from Brazil. They're listening in Germany. Somebody did a translation into German. They're listening in Germany. We did interviews in Sweden. You see, so the truth gets out. It has a way of sneaking out. We're not all that, I know I'm not all that sophisticated in this technology, but the technology makes it so easy for the truth just to get out and reach everybody everywhere who has an ear out for the truth. And some do and some don't. So we're very pleased that you tuned in. And the only other thing I have to say before I get out of the way and we start hearing from abroad is the Paxamune truck came in as well. It was about 3 weeks late. But last week I said it was going to be in at the end of the week. It came in Friday. So we have a very, very large supply of Paxamune on hand for immediate shipment. And so place your orders at dralim.com. The word doctor has to be spelled all the way out. Place your order there for single bottles, or better yet, you can get a steep discount if you buy it by the case. Now remember, there from last year to this year, there's a steep price increase. Inflation is real. Everything about this costs more this year than it did last year. So there's about overall, off the top of my head, is about a 30% increase in price of the Paxamune. So it's the same Paxamune, same size, but the price is more. So don't be shocked when you see the new prices there. They aren't the same as what you were used to last year and the year before. It's about 30% higher. And that's just to keep pace with inflation. So I'm sure you understand. So I think those are my reports. That's what I need to say. Oh, I want to thank everybody who participated with the Bluetooth. We did a little side research project to find out whether you could really scan a room to see if people were vaccinated or not. You see, that's a security measure. You can do that with your home. So when someone's scheduled, you know, to visit me, I can see them get out of their car in the driveway. I have my Bluetooth on. I'm looking. If they light up my Bluetooth, they can't come in my house. Mm-mm. And they're not even in my house. I'll wave them away. Bye-bye. Can't come in. You see, you can scan people at a distance. So that's a useful form of social distancing. So use your cell phone as a tool, and don't be used as a tool by your cell phone. That would classify you as a fool. So use the phone. It's very sensitive, so it will pick up whether somebody's been vaccinated or not. You don't know. And if they say they haven't, they might be lying. Or they might be an agent sent into the midst of you because they're super spreaders, everybody that got the jab. And we go into details on that over on the presentation. Everybody that got the jab is a super spreader of viruses. They're super spreaders of the spike protein that does all the organ damage, by the way. And they're also super spreaders of the lipid nanoparticles, the nanotechnology. And then I just found out the other day, they also spread the graphene oxide and the graphene tubules to form the electronic cellular networks. You see, so that's what we're faced with. So anyhow, I think that's all my report for the evening is. So Sister Najma, you have a song, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Why don't you play that song, and then is Brother Reuben on the line? Once we hear the song, then Brother Reuben, if he's on the line from Australia and whoever else is calling from overseas, we'll get the overseas callers in first.
Brother Reuben said that he has an appointment. He's going to be calling in a couple minutes.
Okay, okay. So play the song now then.
Okay, yes, sir.
This is the world we've waited for 400 years. This is the world of tears to wipe away all our tears. This is the one who's here to comfort you and me. Guide us into freedom, justice, and equality. Before we met him, we were deaf, dumb, and blind. There's still everywhere to find the peace of mind. This man opened up. This great man unstopped our deaf ears. From our heart removed every atom of fear. Unloosened the knot in our tongue, we now can talk. Pick up your bed and walk. He has given us a new lease on life. So let's have love and respect and protect our wives. He has taught us how to bathe 5 times a day. Elijah Muhammad, our messenger.
great man even taught us how to be grown. He said, stop begging, white man. Let's get something of our own. But the greatest thing he's given to you and me is the religion of peace, love and unity. He has made us recognize ourselves as sister and brother. So we just have to live or die for each other. He has given us moon and stars, the greatest in the universe, best by far, all praise is due to our Savior Allah for giving us Elijah Muhammad, our dear Holy Apostle. We would like to say to you, there is nothing in the world that we wouldn't do for you. We realize your love. The cost can never be too great. You already paid the price. To Allah we offer this prayer, to
place. So this is the Your Immunity Project, sounding off. Thank you. So that song needs no introduction. That's Minister Farrakhan. So is Brother Ruben on the line from Australia? Did he get on yet? If not, anybody else, international calls?
Let me check to make sure.
And if not, then we'll go to our headlines and images. And while she's doing that, you can use your share finger and tell them what they already missed.
Brother Ruben is on.
Okay.
As-salamu alaykum, family. How are you?
Wa alaykum salam. How are you, sir?
I am doing fine by Allah's grace. Thank you for bearing with me. I was in the middle of an appointment and had to quickly jump out. I have very, I guess, you know, unfortunately, coming from The news is coming out of Australia every week is never good, but today we may have some good news, which is that here in our state, they just discovered about a week ago that during this pandemic, a lot of those fines and other excessive penalties that they gave to thousands and thousands of people may actually be illegal. What actually happened here is that they had taken on, just before the pandemic, so this is going back before 2020, a few thousand new police officers. And apparently over 1,000 of them, they haven't given the exact figure yet, but we know it's over 1,000 of those police officers were not sworn in correctly. So basically what that means is they were no different to you or me arresting people or fining people, giving evidence in court. So they're trying to quickly figure out a law that will work, you know, backdated, I guess, retrospectively from when this error was done by the police commissioner. Of course, that opens up a whole lot of things, which is hundreds of millions of dollars of fines and other things that were given during COVID, protesters and arrests made and police, you know, beating people up, pepper spraying them. Well, they were no different to you and I beating people up. That's called assault, you know. So a whole lot of that is going on. But also the bigger implication is that during the last few years, Australia has had some of the biggest, if you want to say, drug hauls, where the, you know, and other crime, murders and other things that have happened. Well, these police officers were not in any way under any authority to, you know, provide evidence in court against these big drug dealers and syndicates and all the usual things that go on. So all of those, we may find a whole lot of people who were put in jail simply getting away with it because, you know, due process was not carried out. So that's something very interesting, you know, for mainly for everyday people, ordinary citizens who are not criminals. This is those who were affected by the COVID-19 mandates that we have here, the harsh lockdowns, and those who broke the laws that were given at that time and fines that had to be paid. Most of those have not paid those fines. And of course, the government had other ways to ensure that you paid, whether it was $500 or tens of thousands of dollars or whatever the fine was, because there were, you know, some of them were outrageous, you know, the tens of thousands, you know, taking your property, taking your bank accounts, taking money from your employer before you even see it. So all of those things are in question right now. Now, naturally, the government is calling this an administrative error, but of course, the lawyers and the legal people, many of whom got some of these fines, are saying, this is not administrative error, this is administrative law. So, you know, you cannot legally do the things acting as a sworn officer of the law and go ahead and impose all these restrictions, and people lost jobs, people did all kinds of things. So that's an interesting thing we're going to follow. The second probably most important thing that has happened on a national level, so this is not just my state now, is that we all saw, and if you haven't, there's some of the largest protests against lockdowns, and not just the lockdowns, but about the mandates for the vaccination, the jab or the job. The people who took it out there to the streets and were mainly the construction industry. This is the industry I'm in. And that went on for about a week until they shut down the entire industry to force the people to take the jab. And unfortunately, once they saw the harsh treatment that, you know, the builders and construction people got, the teachers were next, the health workers were next, they didn't dare go out in the street after, you know, the beatdowns and other things that, you know, everybody else got. So everybody else kind of fell in line. Well, just on Friday, one of the largest construction companies in the country, we're talking, I think it's number three, billions upon billions of dollars of construction jobs, you know, government work, universities, hospitals, research labs, skyscrapers, actually went bust. So that put thousands and thousands of people out of work and billions of dollars of unpaid, you know, tradespeople and others basically got the sack on Friday. So this brings the reality of what you've been saying, Dr. Alimo. It's the jab or the job. And even though everyone was beat down who wanted to keep working to take the jab, well, the job has gone now. And that's only after 3 or 6 months. And not only do you have no job, you got something in your system. This jab 2, 3 now, because they have to take a third one in January, and there's no way to get that out of your system. And here you are now looking for another job. And when the biggest of the construction companies collapse, well, they take so many associated industries out with them, not just the people they employ, but those who supply material, those who supply labor, those who, you know, the whole industry. So that's something going on here. And we'll see how that goes, because that's really making people question, what did I do this for? What did I take this jab for? I'm sick. And I mean, many got sick, many had or other kind of side effects. I talked to many of, you know, the people there. Some even got strokes and other things, you know. And they're kind of scratching their head saying, what do we do all this for? And the job was not guaranteed. You know, now the job is gone and there's no way that job is coming back. When a company, you know, falls under billions and billions of dollars of debt, it's not coming back. So that's a reality that we're facing. And of course, on top of all of that, they haven't been able to somehow convince the parents to give their children, you know, more jabs. We're still hovering around the 51% of the 5 to 11-year-olds. And that's just on the first jab. The children are supposed to have 3 in the next, you know, by the next, I think before Easter. So, you know, we still have a few more weeks, but they're supposed to have 3. So the government is going to figure out how to force this onto the children more, because, you know, they're not, you know, the parents are basically refusing right now. So we'll keep you updated on, you know, the events going on here in Australia. But, you know, it's not looking good. We, of course, have the weather events. I'm not sure if anyone's watching the news, but, I mean, we're all glued on what's going on in Ukraine and all of those things. But here in Australia, yeah, my state and the 2 states above us, there's only 6 states in Australia. We have had an awesome, tremendous weather event. I've never seen anything like it in my 30-something years here in Australia. Basically, we got about 700 millimeters of rain. That's about 2 years' worth of rain in one night, or over 1 or 2 nights.
That's about 2 feet. That's about 2 feet.
Oh, yeah. Oh, a little bit over 2 feet. So we're talking kind of like the events back in the great Mississippi flood back in 93. That's what we're dealing with here, but it happened overnight. So towns and cities are underwater. Where I am in Melbourne, we haven't got we're not flooded at all. We're a little bit higher than, you know, the farmland and, you know, where food grows. So we can expect, not only with the COVID shortages and transportation shortages, now the food is underwater. And of course, there's all other global events taking place. So let us prepare, because the worst is yet to come with everything else going on as well. So thank you, Dr. Alim, and I'll be available for any questions. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you, Brother Ruben, from Melbourne, Australia. And we like to hear from Australia, because they seem to be an indicator of what's on its way to North America and other parts of the world. So if a major construction company in Australia fails, then it means they're failing all over the world. And this whole economic system is crumbling. And we need to figure out what we need to do in the midst of that to survive. So thank you very much, Brother Ruben. Sister Najma, let's go to the headlines and the images, and then we'll open up for calls at the end for everybody. And there's not that many images tonight. Happy Savior's Day. I don't know who, maybe somebody knows who took this picture. I don't know who took this picture, but this was some years ago at a Savior's Day. And I was blessed to give a report at some point. And somebody took a picture and sent it to me, but I don't know who took the picture. But I like the picture. So happy Savior's Day, and thank you for the picture. Next image, please. Now, this is very interesting. This is from India. This has to do with ivermectin, which is forbidden in the United States for the most part. You have to climb a mountain to get ivermectin. Even though the results are, as you see, ivermectin obliterates 97% of the COVID cases in Delhi. Now, I don't know how they make the diagnosis there, but whatever it's doing is helping. Next image, which is also about ivermectin. They're using it in ivermectin. They're using ivermectin in Japan. And remember, in Japan, not so long ago, they rejected the vaccines because they found metallic material suspended in the vials. And they wanted to know, what is all of this? It's not supposed to be there. And so they've now switched to ivermectin, and you see the cases plummet. Okay, my screen just went blank. So they've now switched to ivermectin, and you see the cases plummet. Okay, my screen just went blank. Okay, I can see the slide again. Is there another? There should be another. They've now switched to ivermectin, and you see the cases plummet. Okay, my screen just went blank. Okay, you guys, I can see the slide again.
Can Dr. Lynch, can you see? Yes, I can see. Hold on one second. Switch to ivermectin and you see the cases plummet. Okay, Dr. Lynch, can you see? My screen just went blank. Yes, I can see, but I'm hearing a recording in the background.
Okay, all right. So now that's gone. All right, so this is just pretty much what's taking place. We're make it a good spin, Billy, and take your chances to get Bell's palsy, blood clots, DNA damage, paralysis, myocarditis, allergic reactions, Guillain-Barré syndrome, thrombosis, sterility, strokes, ultimately death. And so that's a very striking image of what is really taking place. What's taking place in Australia, New Zealand, what's taking place in Europe, all over the world. The only place that's not receiving the messenger RNA vaccines is China. They're not giving them to their people. And I don't think they're using the messenger RNA vaccine in Russia. I'm not 100% sure on that, but I don't think either country is using the messenger RNA technology. Only we are the ones that are being mandated illegally. See, our brother Ruben from Australia was talking about the illegality involved in everything going on in Australia. Well, the whole thing is illegal. Everything from A to Z about this whole issue is illegal from A to Z. There's nothing about it that's legal. There's nothing about it that's true. There's nothing about it that's scientific. All of it is criminal activity on the highest level with the ultimate aim at depopulation, just like they said. Next image, please. So who's gambling with your life? Now, this is a map of Ukraine, which is in the news, and I think I sent the wrong image, but there was another one. Almost all of the areas of bombing in Ukraine are sites of United States bioweapons laboratories. According to some reports, there are 8 U.S. biological weapons laboratories, and one report said there are 15 such laboratories run by the Pentagon in Ukraine. And so China and Russia said they don't like having bioweapons laboratories next to their borders, and so that's what they've been bombing, these laboratories. Next image, please. Now, this was just a headline. Vaccine is being transmitted from vaccinated to vaccine-free people. So that adds 4 components to what is indirectly being transmitted from the vaccinated to the unvaccinated. So again, that's why it's imperative for you to know who is sitting next to you, who is in your vicinity, who's in your workspace, who's in your classroom, who comes in your home. Because all of this is being transmitted according to the self-propagating, self-spreading vaccine technology that we've talked about in previous broadcasts, and which we went into some detail on the report of findings. Next image. Now, these are just a list of headlines. This is from a website called rents.com, which is a news site, and they just publish a lot of alternative news. Not all of it's true, but it's coming in from all over the world. So the primary Russian targets in the Ukraine, as I just pointed out, are bioweapons labs. And documents expose that the U.S. virus and bacterial biological experiments on Allied soldiers in Ukraine and Georgia. In other words, what were those biological weapons laboratories in Ukraine used for? To experiment on soldiers. And then the U.S. Embassy just removed all of its Ukraine bioweapons death lab documents from their website. The U.S. has used Ukraine for viral death weapons research for years. Fortunately, the records were saved. I published them on Twitter today. So if you want to actually see the record, the documents from the U.S. Embassy, just look at Dr. Aleem on Twitter. The link is there. And then there was a treaty between the U.S. Department of Defense and the Ukraine regarding bioweapons research. And that's the treaty. I mean, that's the actual paperwork to show you that this is not just an opinion. This is what they were doing. Now, some of you might recall that there was a pandemic scare in 2009 called the swine flu pandemic. And I did a lot of interviews at that time. You know, there's a lot of hype concerning it. But the country that was most hard hit by the swine flu epidemic was Ukraine. And there were all kinds of rumors, conspiracy theories, they like to call it, at the time that this was a lab accident in Ukraine that was responsible for the outbreak of the swine flu epidemic. And of course, that was hushed and covered up. And then it didn't amount to much, except 400 people in Ukraine died. That didn't amount to much. Evidently, these people are sacrificial lambs in a lot of different ways. Next image. I think that's the last one, maybe. Oh, yeah, this was just funny. Somebody pasted this. Now, I remember when they reported that the 69-year-old retired Milwaukee police lieutenant died from COVID-19. I remember seeing this on Fox News. And then now the same man died at the University of Memphis. He was a professor now. You see, so a lot of these images and media stories, it's all staged fake stuff. These are crisis actors. That's what they are. They even advertise for people like him on Craigslist. And they pay them big money, you know, to participate in these kinds of things and keep quiet about it. Next image. Maybe that was it. Oh, no, I guess I sent you more than I thought. Okay, now this is something more we're going to go into tomorrow night on the 19th element. But if you really want to understand what's taking place, the name Klaus Schwab should be familiar to everybody on the Your Immunity Project. I've talked about Klaus Schwab. He's the one that invented the term vaccine hesitancy. He's the one that said we need to have a nasal test for people who won't take the jab. We'll call it a test, but it's really an alternative means of vaccinating the reluctant, the vaccine hesitant. That's his term. He's the one that has educated over 10,000 political leaders around the world and has them in office. Half the parliament in Canada are his stooges. That's why you see everybody walking in lockstep. The prime minister in New Zealand, the prime minister in England, they're all his stooges. Now, they're mad at Vladimir Putin because Putin also was one of his stooges. And then he rebelled against the New World Order, you see. So he's considered to be like a hypocrite to the New World Order. And so now Russia is using its military might against the New World Order that's being imposed on the rest of the world. And so, of course, because of that, then he's labeled as a bad guy. But one of the things that we're going to do, maybe not tomorrow night, but at another time, there's a very interesting history about black people in Russia. Do you know that the Russian language, the father of the Russian language, was a black man? We're hearing about the great power of the Russian military. Do you know that the architect of the Russian military was a black man by the name of Gannibal, similar to Hannibal, but with a G? Gannibal, look it up, Gannibal, the Russian military engineer that built the Russian military. They wouldn't even have a language if it wasn't for Pushkin, Alexander Pushkin, the black man. And then I think his great-grandson was Gannibal, who built the Russian military. They wouldn't have had a military. And what did they need a military for? They needed a military to help Lincoln win the Civil War. You and me would still be on a plantation if it wasn't for the Russian Tsar. And so the slave masters of the world have never forgiven the Russians, never forgiven them for what they've done. They've interfered with the New World Order in several ways over centuries, because they're actually essentially a Christian country, and they don't believe in the kind of stuff that the West likes to do. So we'll talk more about that another time, but there's a very interesting history, not just Paul Robeson in China, pardon me, in Russia. I'm talking about 200-300 years ago, what black people were doing in Russia, and the black people that are still in Russia, been in Russia. Next image, please.
That was the last one.
Okay. Yeah, I think I just threw that one in. So let's open up our phone lines. If there's any overseas calls, let's take them first. And then we can just have questions, answers, testimonials, reports as we close out the Your Immunity Zoom conference call for today.
Yes, sir. I don't see Brother Simon on.
You say you do or you don't?
I don't.
Okay.
I do not. Yes, sir. So for the callers who are in on the Zoom platform, please raise your hand and we'll acknowledge your hand. If you have a question or a testimony, if you're on the pre-conference call, hit *6 and then #1. And if you're in the Facebook Live platform, please put it in the chat. I know that some are having issues with the Facebook. They're blocking the Facebook page. For some.
That's why we got to migrate. Now, I think Brother Carlito is going to call in. Okay, let's hear from him, because he's going to explain how the rebroadcast and everything's going to work for the report of findings. And they did an excellent job. Calphony Radio did an excellent job. Everybody else was down when they cut the signal on Sunday from Savior's Day. Calphony Radio went down too, but they were only down for like 3 minutes. They were back up. Rumble went down. Facebook went down. Everybody went down. But who got back up? But Calphony.
Praise be to Allah. Yes, sir. Doc, thank you so much. I want to just greet everybody with Salaam Alaikum. Happy Savior's Day or day after Savior's Day. Okay. Doc, very, very good. I will say this, Doc, whatever you want to talk about tomorrow to give to people, we'll be there for it. You know why? I need to express this, that a lot of people that do know, that's here on here right now today, know that I always say that all general orders is in effect. Please don't look at that as being a cliche or something of that nature, some kind of quick saying. It is true. It is right and exact. We have to put it into use. The devil showed his face yesterday, 30 minutes before time, where it shut down the NOI's YouTube. And I thank Allah for the staff there that fought feverishly to find out how that they can get this to the masses of people. I want to let you know that we are still under attack, family, right now. How? Because right now, today, it has attacked the Your Immunity Project Facebook page, whereas the people of Sister Najima and some of our administrators, they put it on the page, and it seems as though that is going out to all of our people, but it's not going to all the people. I can't get on. Our entire Calphonic Radio staff cannot get on. A few people have gotten on. I know that there's people right here on the that's saying that they can't get on the Your Immunity Project Facebook page. So they're shadow banning us. They're shadow blocking us. They're making us think that it's getting out to the people. So it is very important, everyone, that we follow, just like the minister and the minister staff followed when he made the Twitter army. We have got to make an army where whatever platform that we're on, that we continue to do what? Use your share finger and share, and you share it, and you put the name. See, let me tell you something. The one thing that will get will overcome the shadow ban is if you type the person's name in the comment. When you type the person's name in the comment, after the show is completely over, their name will come up in the notifications, and then they can go see it. Okay? So we have got to be very strategic, and we have got to maintain our patience. Why? We know, the report findings, our pre-Savior's Day, the gift from our brother, Dr. Ali Muhammad. Dr. Ali, it was superb. It was beautiful. And I know that a lot of us on here, didn't even see or couldn't fathom how great the information was. We will definitely have part two and part three that's going to be coming on California Radio's 19th Element this week and maybe even next week. We want to make sure that we give the people every single ounce of information that we can put in our toolbox or on our armor and in our repertoire to defend the truth. Next, I just want to say that the report of finding, it was just on, everyone, and we immediately had 10,000 plus viewers. That's right. So everybody, it is you. It is the followers and it is the believers that bring this up into fruition. These are the people that they are going after, right? They don't have to go after everybody else. But everybody else already got the jab. Everybody else has already fallen victim, okay? So, and those that have taken the jab and that are on here now, let me say this. It's never too late. It is never too late. All you have to do is call on Allah, and Allah will help you and just stand fast. So we have over 10,000 plus viewers. And then Savior's Day, when we came on and Calphonic Radio was able to broadcast and keep the broadcast going, minus 3 or 4 minutes, we were able to help get it to over 30,000 viewers for Savior's Day. So please give yourself another round of applause. We will be rebroadcasting the Savior's Day. Praise be to Allah. That's right. That's right. That's the finger right there. That finger right there did it all. Okay. We will be rebroadcasting Savior's Day 2022. We all know that is 5 hours long. So we will rebroadcast it every day starting next week, Monday, at 5 o'clock p.m. for 1 hour on Calphonic Radio.
Write that down.
From Monday through Friday, 5 o'clock p.m., so that you can sit down and you don't have to sit through the whole 5 hours. You know that it's going to come on, and it's harder for them to shadow block it when we do it in that manner. Okay?
Tell everybody. Write it down.
That's right. Tell every single body you want to continue. Those that can record it. You know, and keep it going, and you want to keep this going, all right? And next, we don't have a time, but every day we're also going to be rescheduling the report of findings they give from our doctor, Dr. Ali Muhammad. We will be doing that as well. And we want you to stay very, very close to your immunity project. We want you to stay very close to Kalfati Radio, the 19th element, because next week, inshallah, next week, we will be on our own platform where they cannot disturb it, not one second. And whenever you see the devil, all you got to do is tap somebody on the shoulder and say, hey, the devil's over there. And we will keep close eyes, contact to him. See, I learned from Dr. Ali. He said, hey, you don't have to always take him off. We'll see. You know, if you're going to come here, just like the minister said, if they, those enemies, those devils, those things that come into the mosque, one or two things going to happen. They're either going to leave or we're going to work them to death. So I want to thank you, Doc, for all that. I want to thank everybody here for being the steadfast followers and supporters of what you know is right and exact. And if you can, tomorrow is also going to be an extension to be able to give donations from $1 to $1 million to help quicken up the both of the servers that will be happening for myself, in Kalfati Radio, and your immunity project as well. That's all we have right now, Dr. Ali. Thank you so much, family. May Allah continue to bless you. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam, sir.
Uh-oh, they froze on Doc.
Uh-oh. Let me see. They're cutting up again. Look, everybody, look, they're causing too much damage.
Hey, but yeah, they all we got to do is just stay fast. You know, we overcome all barriers and obstacles. Is that right? That's right.
We ain't worried about them.
We built for this. They don't know that. But they know it. That's what, but, and then another thing, too, you know, this is how I know that I really truly feel that their end is really, really coming. You know why? Because of the teachings that we've been taught. At the end of their day, they're going to be trying everything they can, plus more, to put down of the believers. And you see what they're trying. They're trying every single thing in the book. So that tells me, look, their time is like so short, it's a shame. So I'm really happy, you know?
Yes. But you know what the minute is, when they got to come out themselves, that's when we know that their options are very limited. When Satan
there you go. And that's exactly what they're doing too. They're talking about themselves and they're trying to get the dead devils out the way. They're like, okay, they know about this devil. They're trying to sneak in other devils that we don't know. Okay? So that's one thing that they're trying to do. I don't know what the doc is doing, but I know that I'm fired up. I'm fired up.
Let me check with him.
Yes, ma'am.
He's texting me at the same time. We're both in. He's like, are you still on? Get him back on. One moment, please.
Yes, ma'am.
iPad is out again.
Yeah, Facebook back up now.
Yeah, I had to close it out. I had to stop the feed and restart it.
Yeah, they said the owner had turned it out off when I was trying to get on.
Yes, ma'am. Dr. Lim is having some difficulty right now, so I'm going to try to give him a couple minutes or so to try to get connected.
Well, if it's possible, excuse me, I'd like to share something with all of the believers. What we're doing here at Kalfati Radio 2 is that we are putting together a compilation of testimonies from the believers or those that have used the past immune, how it has been successful, because, you know, this is one of the tools that we are using to combat that negative narrative. So we will be doing some interviews. We're going to put together that compilation interviews, and we're going to all share it. Everywhere, everywhere. We're going to give this devil something to want to shut down. They want to shut down, let them shut down something like this. So those that would like to volunteer and to be a part of that program, then please take my number down and give and text me or give me a call. Doesn't matter, but preferably text first. It is 347-337-8981. We're going to be putting together a compilation that is going to help the entire world. We got to stand up against that devil that's putting out that negative narrative. And the second thing is that we know that we are strength in numbers. So we want to make sure that Kalfani Radio is going to be, because of these magnificent platforms and shows that we've been able to obtain, Savior's Day with Brother Minister Louis Farrakhan, and the report of findings. Look at that, 10,000 plus viewers, 30,000 plus viewers. If you are doing for self, if you have your own business, and you would like to sponsor your business as being a sponsor on one of these shows because of the many, many people that go around, then call that number again, 347-337-8981, so that you can be a part of that as well, and so that we can, as a collective community, help each other go all the way around. If you notice, the minister spoke on what? He spoke on the Amish. He said they do it, and they not getting bothered. Why can't we? Because we have got to get together and stick together. That's all I got. I see the doctor's on, so I'm going to let him doctor.
Wa alaikum salam. That was strange. Can you hear me? Can you hear
me? Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, we hear you.
Yeah, they killed my iPad. I never had anything like that. It went to a white screen. There's a, like a flash hit my iPad and it turned to a white screen. And then it turned off and then it came back on.
Wow.
I don't know. So anyhow, what did I miss?
Brother Carlito, he was giving his report.
Okay. So let's open up the phone lines. What is it, about 8 o'clock now?
Yes, sir, 8:10.
Okay, so for about 20 minutes, maybe we can hear from those who have questions or testimonials or reports.
Yes, sir. We have Brother Mark.
Yes, guys. Assalamu alaikum and happy Savior's Day to all. You know, a Doc and family, man, we have such a wonderful Savior. I don't know if you all picked it up, but the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, when he was talking to the, what fraternity was that?
The Omegas.
They had, you know, they were, I guess they were concerned because a lot of them had got the jab, but he said, don't worry. He said, our God, the Savior, Master Farah Muhammad, will remedy that. So Master Farah Muhammad, Master Farah Muhammad already knows that the devil tricked a lot of our people into getting the jab. So him being the Savior, he's going to save us. Whatever it is that he's going to bring down to save us, just expect that it will be coming. So those that have gotten the jab, don't let your hearts be troubled. Allah is not going to forsake us. Salamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you. I remember when the minister mentioned that, it caused me to remember something that was taught long ago in the nation, where it said that Allah would pluck some of us right out of the fire of hell. We would be already in the hell. He would come and get us. So thank you for that. Next call.
Yes, sir. We have Brother Ron.
As a matter of fact, I didn't say it right. the way that was taught, he would pluck some of us out of the fire of hell who haven't done any good at all.
Okay, thank you so much, Dr. Aleem. Bless your heart, and thank you all for allowing me to come on to the show. But what I wanted to talk to you guys about was using Paxamune to help kill the virus. And then this company called CTFO is developing a, I guess, oil or some sort of chemical with CBD oil that will go in into the body and fight against the spike protein. Have you read anything about the CTFO cannabidiol oils that they were using for CBD oil? And it has a compound or some sort of chemical in it that will go in and fight against the spike proteins for the people that have already taken the jab and the spike protein is being produced in their body. Well, this CBD oil is supposed to go in and heal or correct what that spike protein is. Have you heard anything about that?
Yeah, I've heard about that, and I've tested that, and that's not true. It doesn't work.
Okay, that's what we needed to know.
That was,
That
was one of the original thoughts that I had a year or so ago, that maybe CBD oil would be a benefit in terms of helping with the spike protein problem. Now, that doesn't mean that CBD medicines aren't helpful in other areas. They certainly are. But
yes,
if you mean specifically, will it undo the damage to the DNA caused by the injection and the spike protein and the organ damage? No, it does not do that.
Very good. Thank you so much, sir. That's definitely what I was trying to find out. I appreciate you. And continue.
Yeah, there's a lot of people, and rightfully so, there's a lot of people who are very desperate to find an answer. I'm desperate to find an answer. But that is one of the things that I looked at, and it doesn't seem to work.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
We have Brother Rashad.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
I was just wanting to find out, is there a protocol or a process for anyone that have taken the jab? I didn't take the jab, but as a matter of fact, I came down with COVID pneumonia back in September. I only stayed in the hospital for 2 days, and I left because they wouldn't give me what I was looking to get. So I went on a protocol from Dr. Hakeem, and Allah have blessed me to fully recover.
Well, good. So what was the question?
The question was, is there any way to, for those people that have taken the jab, is there a protocol for reversing the side effects or the symptoms of the jab?
Not that I know of. There are a lot of protocols. To answer your question, there are a lot of protocols that are out there where people are claiming, they're making claims of that nature. But I have not actually run across any protocol, including the one that I've put forward, the one that I proposed a year or so ago, thinking that it might work. As it turns out, it did not work. So, no, I don't know of any protocol to reverse the effects of the spike protein. I think the best thing I heard about that was what the minister said, prayer. Now, that's not tongue-in-cheek, and that's not a cheap answer, because one of the most powerful healing effects known in science is what they call the placebo effect. Now, what they call the placebo effect is what spiritual people would call faith healing. And, of course, that's mediated by prayer. So anybody can look this up. Look at the effects of prayer on healing. So the prayers of the righteous availeth much, so the scripture says. So I think we're at the point where the devil has done something to God's people. And I think it's up to God to get us out of this one. I think this is beyond the things that ordinary doctors and scientists know how to do. We do the best we can. You see, but at a certain point, we have to hand it over to the higher authority.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Assalamu alaikum.
Now, 31 years ago, 1991, I was grappling with the issue of HIV. And I remember being in a conversation with Minister Farrakhan, and he asked me that question, that same question, what can we do about this? And I said, I don't know. I don't know. And here's what he said back to me. He said, brother, the same God that allowed this to come into the world, that same God, out of his love and mercy, he's placed an answer somewhere, but it's up to us to find it. And then he kind of laughs, and he said, sometimes he places it in the strangest places. And before I knew it, I was on my way to Kenya, which from a scientific point of view seemed to be a very strange place to go find the answer to HIV, but there it was. And so everything I know about interferon, I learned in Kenya, in East Africa, not Harvard, not Yale, not Stanford. I learned it at the Kenyan Medical Research Institute from a black scientist that nobody ever heard of, but he had the answer. And when I asked, of course, I'm talking about Dr. David Koesh. And when I asked Dr. David Koesh, I said, well, how did you come up with this? Do you know what he told me? He says, sir, because he's a very polite man. My goodness, that man is polite. He says, sir, I'm a Christian man. And when the Kenyan government laid the responsibility on me to come up with an answer to HIV that was killing our citizens, I didn't know what to do. So the only thing I could do was fall down on my knees and pray. And the prayers of that Christian man in Kenya were answered. And there I was, learning from him. And I brought back what he taught me, and Dr. Barbara Justice was there with me. And we did our own research in 1991. And the National Medical Association accepted and published our research. And that's how we ended up with a meeting at NIH in 1992. And that was the first face-to-face confrontation I had with Anthony Fauci. And Dr. Barbara Justice and I and Dr. Harold Aubrey, the three of us, and the representative, the president actually, Dr. Walter Shervington of the National Medical Association, the four of us. Although Dr. Shervington excused himself. So it was the three of us against Fauci and his team. And at the end of the day, we kicked their butt. Or like the minister said yesterday, I kicked their ass. And that's how we ended up doing the clinical trials in 1996. See, so yes, there was like a sense of hopelessness. That was my point in 91. About HIV. What's the answer? We don't know. But there was an answer somewhere, and Allah blessed us to find it. So right now, if you ask me to tell you the truth about the spike protein and what to do about it, the people that got jabbed, the best thing I can say is pray, because that's how we got the answer to HIV. Thank you.
Dr. Lane, we got a Facebook question here. It said, Dr. Lane, can you talk about the therapy that Mother Khadija and the minister took called micro something?
Yes. The treatment is monoclonal antibody treatment. Monoclonal antibody treatment, which ironically was developed in Cuba. And during the minister's illness some years ago, we found out that there was a secret scientific connection with George Washington University here in Washington and the Cubans. And they were bringing monoclonal antibodies into the United States surreptitiously, even though there are sanctions, and still are sanctions against Cuba. But anyhow, monoclonal antibody therapy was developed in Cuba. They have a robust biotechnology sector in Cuba. And so that technology has helped the whole world. And I've said many times, the Cuban biotechnology sector, and they have a brigade of medical workers that answer to emergencies all over the world. They deserve the Nobel Prize for medicine, and they ought to get it. So monoclonal antibody therapy came out of Cuba. It's very effective for a number of diseases. I'm not an expert in the use of it, but there are people that are, and it's very effective, apparently, in handling people who are infected with allegedly COVID-19. Remember now, all of the tests are all suspect. So when people say they were diagnosed with this, that, or the other, we know the tests were all bogus. So they were sick from something, but exactly what it was, we can't say because all the tests are bogus. So yeah, that's what monoclonal antibody therapy is. Now, the interesting thing is, for the most part, it's not available. The big state where monoclonal antibody therapy was taking place was Florida. But for political reasons, they cut Ron DeSantis off, so they can't even get it in Florida the last time I heard, unless something has changed. And then the minister told me that the hospital in Phoenix was also cut off so that they can't get it anymore. So check around, but more than likely, if you start asking for it, you're going to be told it's no longer available. Just like ivermectin was cut off, hydrochloroquine cut off, and they're trying to cut the interferon off. But I don't think Allah's going to let them do that. Plus, you can get some in the raw milk. If worse came to worse. Like the Amish drink the raw milk, don't they? Isn't that interesting? They were the community that developed herd immunity before anybody else in the world. And what's the basis of their diet? Raw cow's milk, which is what we use to make the Paxlovid from. So it all figures, doesn't it? Next call, please.
Yes, sir. We have another Facebook Live question. Question is, greetings. A family member of mine was double vaxxed and boosted and has some menstrual issues and they're short-winded at times. Will the Paxlovid help any, or does she need some sort of diagnosis? She's scheduled to take a physical this week.
Well, again, everything is complicated. Now, she got two shots and a booster, so that's three injections. So her body's manufactured, whoever, I don't know, male or female, I think it's a woman. So whoever got that many shots, their body is manufacturing trillions of these spike proteins continuously. And the spike protein causes inflammation all over the body. So now what do you do about that? I really don't know. I'm tempted to give just some more information. See, we've covered this on broadcast in the past. The most common symptom that people have after they get the jab is menstrual irregularities in women. And then in men, they start to become impotent. What's the reason for that? Well, if you take a look at the structure of the spike protein, it's very similar to the proteins that are in the reproductive systems of both women and men. So women have menstrual problems. If they're pregnant, they have miscarriages. And that's because the spike protein interferes with the adherence of the placenta on the uterine wall. And so that leads to a miscarriage. or if the pregnancy has already been underway and the person gets the injection, according to Pfizer's own documents, 100% of the pregnancies ended in a stillbirth. And so why is that? It's because the spike protein, it damages the human reproductive system. So now, again, it's too early to say for sure, but like my mother likes to say, I would bet dollars to donuts that part of the reason for the spike protein is to cause sterility in both women and men. I mean, it'll take some years to actually prove what I just said, but it's obvious that that's probably would be a long-term consequence if people have any long-term consequences. So let's take one or two more.
Yes,
I don't
sir.
Like to get bad news, but most of the news about this is bad. I'm giving you a warning.
Yes,
when
sir.
You talk about this kind of stuff, the answers that come back are not going to be all that pleasant, but they'll be truthful.
Yes, sir. We have another Facebook question. Dr. Aleem, have you heard that shikimic acid helps with the transmission? It's found in pine needle tea and fennel tea.
Yeah, again, that's what I'm saying. People out there desperate. They're making teas out of pine needles and all kinds of stuff. They're desperate. So they come up with all this kind of stuff. And, you know, they make claims about it. But when you actually test it to see if it works, it doesn't work. Now, let me just, so people don't think I'm a pessimist, I've come up with a lot of answers to clinical problems down through the years, but let me give you an idea of what it takes to do that. People bring me ideas, and even the idea about the Kemron, a patient told me about that. You know, so I don't turn down good ideas. But I would say I probably would look at 100 different things before I would find one thing that actually works. I would try 100 different things. And so that's what we're dealing with here. There's 100 different things that are being proposed as an answer to this problem. And we're going to sift through them until we find one that actually works. But so far, I'm not aware that pine needle tea is going to help anybody. Come on. What pine tree? They're not all the same. What particular pine tree? White pine? Red pine? What kind of pine are you talking about? Hemlock? Well, what kind of pine? What's a pine tree? You know, I mean, you have to be specific when you're talking about science. So that's not strictly speaking science. That's folk medicine. And what folk medicine knows anything about spike proteins? What traditional society ever had to deal with mRNA technology or anything remotely similar to what we're dealing with? So you're not going to find the answer like that. But I don't blame people for proposing it. They're desperate. These are the people that got the jab, and they're trying anything they can think of. Next call, please.
Yes, sir.
Let's take two more, and then my mom is actually, I got to do something for my mom.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Dr. Aleem, I just wanted to share something with you. I believe I shared this with you last year, about one of my friends. He's a Christian friend, and I mentioned to you that she had took the shot and actually had cancer all through her body. So she was basically getting chemo, and then she was over at the Houston Cancer Center last month. And they told her they couldn't do anything else for her. And so when they told her that, she stated that they just put her in hospice and began to give her some bright night, you know, they call it bright night, you know, better day bright night medicine, which is that stuff that it just gradually take you out. But she said she managed to, you know, wake up and tell her family to take her out of the hospital. And so they took her out of hospice, and she's still alive. She said that she just only use Paxamune. She is not in any pain or none of that. You know, so she introduced Paxamune to her brother and her sister-in-law and her whole family. So she's still here. So I just wanted to share, you know, those words.
Well, do you know what the actual diagnosis is? You said cancer, but what kind?
Well, she had it was stomach in her intestines, cancer. Yeah.
That's interesting because normally those kinds of cancers are not caused by viruses. But she's apparently getting some benefit from the Paxton. So glory be.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Thank you, Doc.
Well, thank you for that testimonial. That's some good news. We've had some glum information tonight. So that was the best news that we've heard. Let's take one more call and then I got to break away.
Yes, sir. Someone's asking a question in reference to, it said, Assalamu alaikum, happy Savior's Day. How do you get your groceries, your mail, et cetera? What do you, I'm not sure what that says. What exactly do you do?
Well, I don't know what that question means. Let's take the next question. How do I get my groceries?
I guess they're thinking not going out and things like that. But there are delivery. If you don't want to go out, there's delivery companies that will.
Oh, that's it. Oh, I also have friends.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Yeah, I have friends. thank you.
That was the last one that I saw.
Okay. All right. Well, I think we'll just call it at this point. Call it not quits, but call it it at this point. And we want to thank everybody who tuned in. We want to thank you, especially if you share.
This is the newspaper review segment of Good Morning Africa. It is Thursday, the third day of March 2022. I've been privileged to have here with me in the studios the former Lands and Natural Resources Minister, Honorable Yunusa Fuseini. Honorable Rashid Pelpo represents the people of Wa Central in Ghana's parliament. And Kwesi Pratt Jr. is the managing editor of the Insight newspaper. He doubles as the general secretary of the Socialist Movement of Ghana. We'll be talking about issues of national interest. A reminder that we are live from Asudizia at number 48 Swanika Street in Abilinkbe. We're also live on Facebook and on YouTube at Pan-African Television. Let me take you through the topics that we have tabled for this morning's discussion. South Africa's ambassador flees Kyiv, condemns discrimination, and government replies at Tuguba on cool dreams. That story was taken from the Daily Guide newspaper. Former MP petition speaker over absentee members. And continued detention of Baka Vomawo Kofi Bento slams police. And that story was taken from the Insight newspaper. I repeat, continued detention of Baka Vomawo Kofi Bento slams police. And we took that story from the Insight newspaper. Let me remind you that you can also contribute to the show by sending in your thoughts, your messages through our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/Pan-African Television. We are streaming live, so I'll be very glad, I'll be more than happy to receive your contributions. And as long as your comments are not insulting, trust that I shall take the time to read all of them for you. Like earlier intimated, I've been joined in the studios by Honorable Rashid Pelpo and Kwesi Pratt Jr., as well as the former Lands and Natural Resources Minister, Honorable Inusa Fuseni. Good morning, gentlemen, and welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Right. So without wasting much time, let's get into our very first story. Of course, we know about the happenings in Russia and Ukraine, both countries at war with, you know, with each other. But the sad part of this is that even in the midst of war, there seem to be some form of racial discrimination against people of black origin, or against black people, or against Africans. That is the story there. So without further ado, let me start with the Honorable Member of Parliament for WA Central on this particular issue.
Well, good morning to all my people in WA Central. I hope everybody woke up well. It's about the South African ambassador and the challenge of discrimination he faced. Well, we had heard of these kinds of discriminations meted out to many Ghanaians. I have supported somebody to go to Ukraine to study, and part of the report he made was that they can't cross into another country, especially Poland.
Mm-hmm.
They have various discriminatory tactics to prevent black people from going through, and so they attend to go back. And in a BBC report, Nigerians walked 12 hours, with few Ghanaians amongst them, walked 12 hours to a point to cross. They told them they couldn't cross, so they had to walk another 12 hours back into the territory where they were running away from, into another border. So it's a big challenge. Discriminations against black people is not new in the world. It's been one of the key things that we have fought against all these years, fighting colonialism, fighting discrimination, fighting all kinds of things that undermine and underrate us as a race. Even an ambassador who is representing, who has a diplomatic status, representing a whole country, is also suffering the same thing. So it's not about your status, it's about your color. And it is the backwardness of society as we find it now. Because it is not what you look like, how you look like, but how capable you are in solving the daily problems of life, and how much worthy you carry yourself, you know. So, but when people discriminate against you because of your color or where you come from, it is one of the backwardness of society that we are yet to overcome. You know, to be civilized means to understand the human life. Everything that we do on this earth, if you say you are religious, you are Muslim, you are Christian, you are a Democrat, you are a Republican, you are NDC, you are MPP, whoever you are a tribesman of a certain ethnic group or something. Essentially, it is to advance the cause of living a worthy life. You know, I mean, if you cannot bring yourself to understand the human life and then live in accordance with social norms, norms that are worthy of copying and emulating, then you are a little less than, you know, the core concept of a human being. So I think that the vestiges of past civilization, of discrimination, even of killing people who don't belong to your ethnic group or your color, you know, it shows how backward we can go as humans. So discrimination is against our concepts of life in Ghana. We have fought against it all the years. We have fought against colonialism and everything that undermines the human person. We fight against it. And so we support her in her cry. And we all are hoping that that kind of life should not be allowed to germinate into something else. Yeah. So I think that along the many people who are condemning it, I also condemn it, and I hope that Ghanaians who are there, Africans who are there, will be treated with the same kind of respect as their counterparts from everywhere. If you come to Ghana, you can always find people who condemn this kind of thing. We are determined to maintain our DNA against discrimination and against colonialism, against imperialism, against social discrimination, and anything that will underrate the worth of a man.
Right. Yeah. Thank you very much. Let me turn my attention to Honorable Inusa Fuseni.
Yes, I think that's proper for me to extend my greetings to my brother Rashid. People have not seen him in a very long time since I left Parliament. Dr. Rashid has been a very good friend. Was the first teen president at the University of Cape Coast. Came to Lagos to do his master's, where I met him. We've been good friends all this while. And to my comrade friend, the locus classicus of Ghanaian politics, Kwesi Pratt, always a privilege to be with you on the platform. The war in Ukraine is intensifying. As I was driving here, the report was that Kiev is going to be under siege. As the war continues, the exasperation of the Russian soldiers is now manifest. Their initial strategy was to take out military installations. The war was programmed to be a quick fix of this program, in the sense that they had targeted, according to Putin, they had targeted military installations, and their intention was to render Ukraine not a military threat to the Russian state, and also to change government. The bombardment was intended to put pressure on the people of Ukraine to change the government of Ukraine. But as the war intensifies, there's now some desperation, and the indiscriminate use of artillery and missiles is not targeting civilians. Now we are recording the conflict in Ukraine is recording increasing numbers of civilian casualties. As we speak, the Human Rights Commission, the UN Human Rights Commission, has issued a statement saying that what is happening in Ukraine, and particularly the targeting of civilians, could constitute war crimes under the UN humanitarian law. And so clearly the dimensions of the war is extending beyond what was initially envisaged. Now, because bombs, artillery fire doesn't discriminate amongst people. So if blacks and whites are in Ukraine and in residential areas, and the bombs are falling in residential area, the bomb will not target the white Ukrainians, kill them and leave the blacks. So because of that, the first law of nature is self-preservation. I mean, when there is conflict, human beings try to find safe havens to be able to continue their lives, even though their way of living would have changed significantly. That is why you see Ukrainians fleeing the country. The Ukrainian government had issued an edict which said that all Ukrainian male citizens from the ages of 18 to 60 should stay back and fight. And so they were allowing only children and women to leave. Some of the women even decided to go to the border, leave their children, and return back to Ukraine to fight. Now, Africans and other nationals are also in Ukraine. The Asians, the Arabs, are also in Ukraine. And they also are attempting to leave Ukraine. But
primarily the focus of the neighboring countries has been to offer Ukrainians shelter, to give them a place where they could temporarily reside until the situation in Ukraine abated. And that led to some level of discrimination against other nationals. But the United Nations, the UN Office of the Refugees, has made it abundantly clear that where war displaces persons, those persons are called refugees. Now, so it doesn't matter whether you come from Ukraine, or whether you come from Azerbaijan, or whether you are from Syria, or whether you are from Nigeria. The war in Ukraine, if it displaces you, you become a refugee. And so they are entitled to the same protection as the Ukrainians, and has warned that the countries bordering Ukraine must offer all persons fleeing Ukraine the same facilities as are accorded the people of Ukraine or nationals of Ukraine. What the South African ambassador and his staff, or her staff, I don't know what it is, a man or a woman? What the South African ambassador has done clearly is to ensure that his own personal safety and the safety of his staff, because of the impending siege that might be laid on Kiev. And so he's taken flight. No one can blame him. I mean, he's ambassador. All he has to do is to ensure that nationals of South Africa who are in Ukraine are protected, are given assistance to be able to leave Ukraine if they want to leave. And so if he succeeded in doing that and also taken flight, one can understand that he's trying to obey the first laws of nature to preserve himself, his family, and that of his staff. Discrimination against persons based on color or race cannot be tolerated in circumstances of this nature. And Africans have borne the brunt of discrimination in this particular war. We hear accounts of Nigerians and other nationals of sub-Saharan origin being prevented from entering trains, spending more than 12 hours at border crossings to be able to get access to neighboring countries for the purposes of their own safety. It's deplorable. It's condemnable. Nobody wants the war in Ukraine. It's happening. The reality is that people will look for safety. And so all persons escaping from Ukraine must be afforded equal facilities to be able to secure their safety.
All right. Thank you so much. Mr. Pratt.
Well, first of all, I'd like to start by reading a report in the newspaper, The National Voice. And perhaps this will give us a clear idea as to what is happening. It says, African envoys spoke out strongly at the mistreatment of African nationals trying to flee Ukraine during a special session of the United Nations General Assembly on Tuesday. African nationals, mostly students, have accused Ukrainian security forces of racially profiling them and of stopping them from getting on trains. The reports of discrimination have caused uproar and left a bitter taste in Africa. South Africa endorses the statement issued by the African Union Commission, expressing concern at the treatment given to African nationals and people of African descent at the borders of Ukraine, some of whom are not allowed to cross or move to safety. We urge European countries to take steps to resolve this situation, as all people have a right to cross international borders during times of conflict, said Matteo Giannini, South Africa's ambassador to the UN, in a speech. There's more, but this is sufficient for me. My goodness, I cannot understand how stupid some African leaders are. Unbelievable stupidity. The Ukrainian war has broken out. You understand? This war potentially could destroy the world 10 times over. One destruction is sufficient. It can destroy the world 10 times over. And what are African leaders doing? Declaring support for one side or the other. What madness! The world as we know it today, civilization as we know today, can become extinct. And we are here declaring support for Ukraine and so on. What is wrong with us as Africans? Ukraine that you are declaring support for, its security forces think that black people are inferior to white people. Where is our interest in all of this? Listen to the report. Listen to the statement made by the South African ambassador to the UN. They think that if your color is black, you are inferior to white people. And we are declaring support for them for what? What is wrong with us? The first position, the most important thing for African people is to declare that we are not inferior to any race anywhere in the world. That Africans are human beings like Ukrainians, Africans are human beings like Russians, Africans are human beings like people of the United States of America, and so on. We are not inferior. That is the most important point. Here we are, supporting resolutions which resolve nothing, and so on. Resolutions which resolve nothing. And worrying our heads over who is winning the war. Is this a war which can be won? Who can win this war? This war started, this active war started 8 years ago. 8 years ago. Over the last 8 years, there have been all kinds of efforts to avert escalation. Why? The Russians have come forward and said, look, we cannot tolerate this situation in which you are placing your deadliest weapons only 15 minutes from our capital, Moscow. Which country will tolerate that? Tell me which country in the world will tolerate that. Have we forgotten the Cuban Missile Crisis? 1961, the Russians positioned their weapons at the invitations of Cuba, also a sovereign state, 90 miles from the United States of America. And there was mayhem, complete mayhem. The U.S. threatened to sink Cuba, to sink Cuba. It's a fact. Who protested? The U.S. threatened to sink Cuba. The Russians quickly agreed to withdraw their weapons in order to avert the situation that we are seeing in Ukraine today. But NATO and its allies have systematically been trying to surround Russia to put Moscow only 15 minutes from attack, denying Russians the chance to defend themselves in the event of war and so on. Take that into consideration. The strangest story I've heard is that the Russian military is targeting civilians. You know, sometimes they speak at both sides of their mouth. I'm sure you've heard reports, and this morning those reports were repeated on all the Western media outlets, that Ukrainians with their bare hands walk in front of Russian tanks and stop them from moving. How can you say this and say they are targeting civilians? Civilians who, with their bare hands, without any weapons, confront tanks and stop the tanks from moving. And say the Russians are indiscriminately killing civilians. How do you put these two statements together to make sense? My brother, I hope you listen to what I'm saying.
I'm getting it.
They are saying that Ukrainian civilians, without any weapons, bare hands, they get into the streets and they use their bare hands to stop the Russian tanks. And yet they say they are indiscriminately targeting civilians. Does this make sense? This is speaking at both ends of their mouth. It simply doesn't make any sense at all. Now, if you look at the discrimination against the Africans, diplomats with diplomatic passports are being harassed by Ukrainian security forces and by some of the neighboring countries. Yesterday, I had the privilege of speaking to Honorable Okudatora Blackwa, who is now in Romania, you know, on a fact-finding mission and so on, and he was full of praise for the Romanian authorities. And we're saying that the Romanian authorities are treating the Africans with dignity and so on. We salute the Romanian authorities for their behavior towards the African, you know, people and so on. But what about the others? I was listening to the British Broadcasting Corporation. And the British Broadcasting Corporation, there was a Nigerian student who was saying that, look, these Ukrainian security forces and some of the neighboring countries, they treat the dogs of the Ukrainians better than the Africans. They allow dogs to pass and leave Africans there to suffer from this excruciating weather and so on. And we are here doing what? Supporting Ukraine. For what purpose? What is happening in Ukraine has serious repercussions for all of us, everybody anywhere in the world. Nobody can support war. War is dangerous. War does not resolve any problem. And in any situation of war, those who suffer are the underprivileged. They are the working people and so on. The destruction of national infrastructure, the loss of lives, and so on, is not in anybody's interest. So at best, what we can be calling for today is an immediate ceasefire and return to the negotiating tables. We have to recognize what the French president, Emmanuel Macron, has said. Emmanuel Macron has said, in plain language, in plain French, that the Russians have legitimate security interests. What are those legitimate security interests? If Emmanuel Macron recognizes that the Russians have legitimate security interests, we must be taking it seriously. They have legitimate security interests. If you were head of state of Russia, would you sit there for your country to be completely encircled and deny the right to response in the event of an attack? That can get real. First and foremost, we are Africans, and we need to protect African interests. Look, these Western countries, they urge you on. They continuously urge you on. They were telling Zelensky to stand and fight. You know, we will support you and so on. When the Russians started rolling their tanks into Ukraine, what did the United States do? The United States called Zelensky and said, hey, they are coming, run away. They told him to run away. That is the nature of their support. They said, run away, my friend, and offered him assistance to run away. That is the support they give to those who recklessly and without regard to their own interests toe the line. This war essentially is between NATO and Russia. This war, Ukraine only happens to be the territory within which this war is being fought. But this war is essentially between NATO and Russia. Yes, sir. And I'm sitting back and I'm wondering. In the past, we're told that there was a Cold War, a battle between communists and capitalists. Today, where is communism? Today, as we speak, Russia is not a communist state. As we speak, Russia is as a capitalist as the United States of America, or even maybe more, and so on. So what is the battle about? This is a contest between two nationalisms. Russian nationalism and American nationalism. That's all. And we want to be caught in the middle of two nationalist battles, to be caught in the middle of a battle in which even Africans are not respected as human beings and so on. What is wrong with us? What is wrong with our leaders? I can't believe this. In any case, the United States of America, which is trumpeting human rights and so on, the human rights of African Americans in the United States of America are constantly being violated. Within the last 2 years, look at the number of African Americans whose human rights have been trampled under feet of the U.S. security establishment. Look at the case of George Floyd and so on. What is human rights? When the United States and its allies decided to go to Iraq, were they guided by the principles they are espousing today? In any case, they went to Iraq on a false pretext, on a pretext that Saddam Hussein and his government had access to weapons of mass destruction. Today we know that it was a lie. They deceived the whole world into looking on whilst they went into Iraq and committed serious atrocities against the people of Iraq. How many millions have not died in Iraq? And as we speak, the U.S. is still an occupying force in Iraq. If the U.S. is opposed to occupation, they should leave Iraq. They are in Iraq as an occupying force, and they are making useless noises about an occupation force in Ukraine. Does it make sense? Why? As we speak, there are still American soldiers in Afghanistan. Why? Afghanistan can be invaded. Ukraine cannot be invaded. Double standards, my friend. Yesterday, there was so much noise about 140-something countries voting for a resolution against so-called Russian invasion of Ukraine. Check the UN record. All the countries of the world, with the exception of about 3 or 4, sometimes 5, vote against the crippling criminal sanctions on Cuba. Does the U.S. suspect the UN resolutions, General Assembly resolutions? How many of those countries, today making so much noise about Ukraine, have ever respected UN General Assembly resolutions on Cuba, on Yemen, on Palestine, and so on? Do they respect those resolutions? They have set a precedent of not respecting these resolutions. And then today we are told that the International Criminal Court is investigating war crimes. When the International Criminal Court decided to investigate war crimes committed in Iraq, what did the United States of America say? It says it would not allow the International Criminal Court to do so. It actually imposed sanctions on the Gambian lady who was chief prosecutor at the International Criminal Court. Have we forgotten so soon? Why is our memory so short? Why is our memory so short? The International Criminal Court would not investigate human rights abuses, war crimes in Afghanistan, but it would investigate human rights abuses and war crimes committed by Russia. What double standards? What hypocrisy? I can't believe it. We have to take a stand for African people. We have to insist that the African people are not inferior to any other people anywhere in the world. We are not inferior, and we must insist on our rights everywhere in the world. That is what our African leaders ought to be doing, and not this. Master, let's move on.
Right. Thank you very much. Interesting submission there by